It's 5 minutes after the hour. It's Thursday, and good morning, and welcome to the Morning Show with Preston Scott. I'm Preston. That's Grant Allen over there in Studio 1A. It is so good to be with you. Thursday, July 8th. More about that date in just a few moments. Show number 4504. And day 170 of America held hostage. Whether you are in the capital city, if you are along the Emerald Coast, or if you are in Orlando, good morning and welcome to the radio program in another couple of days, today and tomorrow, for the Good Morning Orlando program and team. On Monday, they will be back with Simon Conway filling in for Bud Hedinger. Bud will be back on Tuesday. You know, thankfully, they have recaptured the acronym GMO and have turned it into something positive. Not everybody has a warm, fuzzy feeling about GMOs. But GMO, Good Morning Orlando, is a positive thing. And I'm grateful. You know, it's kind of like we now get the rainbow back. How awesome is that? We can have the rainbow back for the next 11 months. And we can restore it to its rightful place in the sky. Our verse of the day, Psalm 139, we continue. Verses 23 and 24, search me, God, know my heart, test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Be authentic. Now, that does not mean, listen now, that does not mean settling for the tried and true statement that people have rolled out for years. Well, it's just the way God made you. Look, we have a responsibility to take those sharp edges and file them down a little bit. And that's the whole point of life. Life brings trials and a little bit of abrasion. If you will, think of the analogy of, say, an oyster. What's needed for the pearl to be created? A little abrasiveness. Takes a little bit of sand in there. And we require a little bit of life to rub off the sharp edges. Psalm 139, a beautiful, majestic psalm that speaks so much about God and you and me, and a reminder of authenticity. And that means being aware of your shortcomings, not to dwell on them, but to grow past them and to refine yourself and allow yourself to be refined to be a better version of you on the other side. Well, that's just the way I am. I'm mean, short-tempered, and profane. How about changing that about you? That would be a good thing. So we welcome you to the radio program, and I, for one, am very, very happy because it's in the rearview mirror. It's behind us. Wait a minute. It's to the north of us. We can finally say in the state of Florida, no more tropical storm Elsa. So friends, yeah, we are letting it go. Did our due diligence. It brought some tough times to parts of the state, a little flooding here and there, and tragically, we did see a life lost as a result of the storm in Florida and more spin-ups in Georgia. But friends, we can put that all in the rearview mirror now. There is no tropical storm in the Sunshine State. Skies will get better. Yeah, we'll have the afternoon rain showers and all that stuff. But today on the program, we don't talk about Tropical Storm Elsa. That was it. That's it. Get to go back to doing the morning show. We'll take a look at this date in history and more next as we continue here on day 4504, the morning show with Preston Scott.
Five minutes and he'll give you something to talk about. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Eleven minutes after the hour, I feel to a certain extent we can kind of catch up a little, sort of, today. Today on the program, I'm going to introduce you to a new statewide source for news. Because, quite frankly, the news in the Sunshine State, generally speaking, is pretty crappy. And I don't mean bad news. I'm just saying it's badly done. It's like the whole profession of journalism is just trash. And I wish I could wave a magic wand and sit down with newsrooms in all forms of media and explain why it's bad. But that train's left the station. So we have a new source to introduce you to that we rely on this program, and it would be wise for you to rely on it as well. Make it your go-to for what's going on inside of Florida with investigative reporting and reporting based on facts. Novel idea. That comes up next hour here on the Morning Show with Preston Scott. July the 8th, you know, tradition holds that on July 8th, 1776, the Liberty Bell rang from the tower of the Pennsylvania State House, now known as Independence Hall, as it summoned Philadelphians to hear Colonel John Nixon give the first public reading of the Declaration of Independence. The Pennsylvania Assembly ordered the 2,000-pound bell from London in 1751, specifying it bear an inscription from the Bible. Oh, could you imagine that happening today? Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It's Leviticus 25:10, the King James Version. Ironic. It arrived in Philadelphia the next year, but cracked the very first time it was tested, probably due to a flaw in the casting. It was melted down, recast twice to make a new bell. Over the years, the bell rang often to call people for announcements, special events. It pealed in 1765 for Philadelphians to discuss the Stamp Act. In 1774, the First Continental Congress. In 1775, after the battles of Lexington and Concord. At some point, no one is certain, the bell cracked again. On February 22nd, 1846, during a ringing for Washington's birthday, the crack grew so much that the bell became unusable. It no longer rings, though on special occasions, such as the 4th of July, it is gently tapped. And on June 6, 1944, when the Allies landed on the beaches of Normandy, officials struck the bell and broadcast its tone across the nation. I wonder if we can find a recording of that.
Maybe someone has it somewhere. Maybe YouTube.
That would be epically cool. Today, the Liberty Bell sits near Independence Hall. I've seen it. I've been there. I have been right next to it. It is breathtaking to see. It just is. It's goosebump inducing. And so, there's the story of the Liberty Bell. And allegedly rings for the first time on this date in 1776. Or not the first, rings for the first public reading of the Declaration. 1853, Commodore Matthew Perry sails into Tokyo Bay seeking diplomatic and trade relations between the United States and Japan. 1889, the first issue of the Wall Street Journal is published. On this date, 1932, Dow Jones Industrial falls to 41.22, the lowest closing of the Great Depression. 1950, MacArthur named commander of the United Nations forces fighting in Korea. And in 2011, Atlantis is launched from Cape Canaveral in the last flight of the space shuttle. Atlantis now sits at the Kennedy Space Center, and the display of Atlantis at Kennedy is spectacular. If you've never made the trip, do the bus thing and get to see Atlantis. It's awesome. All right, 16 minutes after the hour. Come back. We'll talk about train wrecks on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
FLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
And free.
And iHeart's radio station.
Minutes after the hour here on The Morning Show. In for Bud and the crew. Bud's off till next Tuesday, but we will be here. And tomorrow, for those of you in Orlando, an exclusive here on The Morning Show. Don't know that you'll hear it anywhere else, unless you head to San Antonio, because we stole it from them. We borrowed the idea. One of my first producers when I did this show, 1 year in, Mike Gentine. Mike brought the idea of what we turned into What's the Beef Friday. And so in the third hour tomorrow, you call in and you can complain about anything you want. And so that's in the 8 o'clock Eastern hour of The Morning Show. It is a Friday tradition where we take a half hour, take your calls, let you get it off your chest, whatever it is that you are holding in. And that's tomorrow on the radio program. Don't forget, you'll have a chance to win cash, grand in your hand. And that comes up depending on what time zone you are in, what region you are in. If you are in the Tallahassee, Panama City area, it's 5 minutes past the hour. You'll get the cue to text. If you are in Orlando, it's 10 minutes past. So that's something to look forward to. Because it's always good to get somebody else's money, especially when it. See, that's the thing. When you get a stimulus check, you're getting, for some of you, your own money, but it's your neighbor's money. It's taxpayer money. The government doesn't have money. It only has what it takes from businesses, and businesses only have taxes because it secures it from its customers. See, businesses don't pay taxes either. People do. Consumers do. And so just want to kind of keep that in front of you, grand in your hand. This is truly now our money, iHeart's money. It's going to you. So it's a good thing. So be listening for your chance. What do you make of the Rachel Nichols ESPN thing? It might not even be on your radar. Rachel Nichols was with his ESPN, then she left, went to CNN for a little while, or TNT, whatever, and then she came back to ESPN. And she's fine. I mean, she's a credible announcer, broadcaster.
She's pretty much NBA only stuff now.
Well, she's kind of pigeonholed herself that way. I think she dresses a little tacky for television sometimes, but I could say that about a lot of people. A lot of people, men and women, dress just, oh, come on now. You can do better than that. Get a stylist. But I blame producers for that. Producers ought to be saying something like, okay, here are your rules. This is how you present yourself on the air. So you're not a distraction. But she was heard saying to LeBron James advisor Adam Mendelsohn, she didn't know she was being recorded, about a colleague, Maria Taylor, who happens to be black. I wish Maria all the success in the world. She covers football. She covers basketball. If you need to give her more things to do just because you're feeling pressure about your crappy longtime record on diversity, which, by the way, I know personally from the female side of it, like, go for it. Just find it somewhere else. You're not going to find it from me or taking my thing away. I just want them to go somewhere else. It's in my contract, by the way. This job is in my contract in writing. Well, apparently she was talking about being the host during the NBA finals with the guys up top. And because of this, she has lost the gig that she did have as sideline reporter for the NBA finals. Maria Taylor was given the gig as the host of the NBA pregame, halftime, postgame. And Rachel Nichols felt it was her job. And so she was complaining about it. And as a result, she's been demoted. The black producer or whoever it was that recorded it and leaked it to Maria Taylor, she's allegedly been let go. Don't know that for certain, but that's the scuttlebutt. Here's the thing. Rachel Nichols is, to a certain extent, right. You know, Maria Taylor's okay. Just like Rachel Nichols is okay. They're competent reporters. The best in the business are Aaron Andrews, Lisa Salters, and Michelle Tafoya. If you want to know about female broadcasters that don't do play-by-play, there are a couple that do play-by-play that are okay. They try a little hard. But that could be the same thing could be said about guys in the business. And that is something I'm a bit of an expert on. But here's the thing. ESPN is just a train wreck.
Yeah, I'm kicking my feet up just watching ESPN themselves.
Implode. Yeah, they've woken themselves into wokeness and oblivion. And if you go back, the migration started years ago. Dan Patrick saw it coming. Mike Tirico saw it coming. The real talent left long ago. There are still very talented people there. It's just they're trapped in wanting to be on ESPN. Oh, well. 27 minutes past the hour. Let's get to the big story in the press box and more next.
Sensei of Sensibility. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Good morning, Tallahassee. Good morning, Panama City. Good morning, Orlando. Filling in for Bud Hedinger in Orlando on the big AM 540. Filling in for the icon. It's just us. Merely me, Preston Scott, Grant Allen over there in Studio 1A. I'm here in Studio 1B. Bud, Melissa, Allen back together again on Tuesday. Simon Conway in with Melissa and Allen on Monday. But we thank you very much for joining us. Half hour away for those of you in the Tallahassee, Panama City area. Half hour away from a chance to put a grand in your hand. And just a little bit longer for those of you in Orlando to get another chance. So keep listening. Big stories in the press box. Thankfully, the first time this week without having to talk about a storm brewing, entering the Florida space. Joe Biden did something that his predecessor certainly didn't seem to have an interest in doing, and by his predecessor, meaning his president, Barack Obama. Barack Obama, allegedly, you know, a son of Chicago, didn't take a lot of interest in the Windy City when he was in the White House. Think of the power, the clout, the opportunity that Barack Obama had at his disposal to speak to the violence inside Chicago, which is almost exclusively black-on-black crime. And he did nothing. So Joe Biden shows up in Chicago. That's not the story. Yeah, he, you know, on the tarmac, he gave a hug and a high five to Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago, and who knows who else was out there. And he arrives at the end of, you know, right after one of the worst weekends of violence in Chicago in some time. And that's saying something. But buried at the back of the story is this. The president's overall approval rating stood at 50% in an ABC Washington Post poll. His approval rating dealing with crime at 38% to 48%. How? Understanding the sampling bias that exists, how is it even possible that half of you could conceivably approve of the absent-minded professor and the job he's done as president? How? Go through the list. And this is something for those of you to just file away for tomorrow on What's to Be Friday. I welcome any of you calling me tomorrow and go ahead, take issue with what I've said. Prove to me what he's done that is helping this country. The continued spending and the printing of money, devaluing the dollar, hyperinflation. The continued paychecks handed out by the government using taxpayer money. Help wanted signs hanging on doors all over the country. People don't want to work for money. They want to get a check and just sit home and play video games. Crime spiraling out of control because his party's the party of defund. Law enforcement. You've got socialists in Congress. More on that later in the program. The push towards unrestricted abortion. The parties behind the dismantling of our electoral process, or trying to. I mean, what am I missing here? 40 minutes past the hour, it's the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Patriots Home Inspection. Buying a home shouldn't be stressful. Call Patriots Home Inspection now.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott on WFLA.
If you're looking for good news talk radio across the Sunshine State, just zero in on WFLA wherever you are. That is the very bright branding of iHeart for news talk in Florida. And so we are WFLA in Tallahassee, 100.7 FM. WFLA in Panama City and the surrounding area. They got a 100,000-watt blowtorch we're on. Basically can't drive anywhere in the panhandle without hearing 94.5 WFLA. And, of course, Good Morning Orlando, News Radio WFLA Orlando, AM 540, FM 93.1, 94.1. I think there's even another signal out there. In fact, I think they should just take all of the signals. Don't leave any of the stations anything else. Just everywhere you tune in Orlando should be WFLA. But we welcome you to the Morning Show. let me read a few headlines. And just stay with me here. USA Today. Haiti's president assassinated. Absolutely heinous act. Terrible. The death toll climbing in Surfside. Condominium collapse. Yep. XFL-CFL will not merge. Okay. Trump praised Hitler while in office, new book alleges. You think, really? It's probably authored by the same people that have ignored his comments in Charlottesville and have twisted those. It's absurd. This Legally Blonde scene didn't age well. FAQs, USA Today's premium digital subscription. These are the headlines. I printed it right from their own website.
Sure.
Uncle of teen who filmed George Floyd's murder killed in crash with police. What will money buy? A change of scenery in a hot housing market. And I looked through the page pretty closely, and I looked again this morning. Not a lot of change. There's a headline missing. Check CNN. There's a headline missing there, too. In fact, I can't find it in almost any mainstream news media outlet. Here's the headline. You ever heard of a young man named Ladarius Clardy? Why would you? Rising star quarterback playing for Kennesaw State University outside Atlanta. Played at Pensacola High School, not Pensacola High School itself. He played at Pine Forest and is the all-time leading passer, school history. About to start his second season in Kennesaw State, came back to Pensacola, his home turf, to visit, and had just come in town. Was picking up a buddy of his that he played football with, a young man named Eric Young. And Ladarius had a car pull up next to him. 50 bullets were shot into Ladarius. 50. Where's that story? I will bet the farm that this will be a black-on-black crime. And here is a rising college football star, happens to be black, but whose story doesn't make news because the perpetrators aren't police or white. And I want to ask you to explain that. Or if I can borrow from the woke, lying narrative of Black Lives Matter, say his name. Say the name of Ladarius Clardy. 46 minutes after the hour, it's the morning show with Preston Scott.
What? Known as Mr. Know-It-All. The Morning Show with Preston Scott. News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
A few minutes away, introduce you to the Florida Capital Star. If you are new to the radio program, and I know that, goodness gracious, all of you in Orlando, unless you stumbled upon us and listened via iHeart, which, by the way, you can podcast this program whenever you like. So, long after we part company on Friday, you can listen to GMO Monday through Friday, normal time, and then later on in the day when you're doing something that you cannot stand to do. That's when you stream my program. You stream The Morning Show with Preston Scott, so just look it up in the iHeartRadio app. I know it's a little weird to look up my name under artists, but that's just kind of the way it goes.
I mean, yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah, it's just, I still can't get my brain around it. Elton John, Elvis, Preston Scott. It doesn't ring true, but it is how you find the show. And then scroll on down to podcasts, and there you will find a couple of programs. You'll find The Morning Show, and you will also find, as I was saying, which is a short Saturday program because 15 hours isn't enough. I have to pause here for just a second, because when I saw this story, it happened a few days ago. Georgia golf professional Gene Siller, Pine Tree Country Club, hears about some guy driving a truck onto the golf course, onto the 10th green. Now, initially, I wondered, okay, was this something to do with, because in the story they talked about that there had been an encounter with a guy wanting to fish on the golf course, and a lot of golf courses will say, no, you can't do that. This is private. It's a private course. It's not open to the public for that purpose. But it appears as though, according to law enforcement, Siller just was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He went on out there and apparently witnessed a crime and then was shot in the head and killed. And when law enforcement got there, they found two other deceased males found in the pickup truck. They have no idea who did it. They might have clues, but they've not arrested anybody at this point in time. He wasn't targeted. Wife, two small boys left behind. I just want you to put into context something here. This is a golf course. Membership growing rounds per played per year. things on the upswing because this golf professional was doing a really good job of bringing the course back. Someone decided to commit a crime on that golf course. He, as the head professional, as the chief custodian of the interests of that golf course, would obviously go out to find out, hey, what's going on? And he was shot and killed. This is an example of why you should consider what we talked about yesterday with Charlie Strickland. You know, to the uninformed, to someone that just casually scrolls through, listens to a radio program, you're wondering, what in the world are you doing talking about a self-defense on morning radio? That is why we talk about self-defense, personal defense on my radio show. Because you don't know what will happen. Better to have and not need than need and not have. Take the responsibility seriously and be as prepared as you can be. That poor guy didn't even have a one iron. Time for news. It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott. Okay, now, those of you in Tallahassee, Panama City, you have your chance. Text that keyword to 200-200. Put a grand in your hand. Orlando, you got just a few minutes from now to have your chance. So be listening for the keyword. And text that keyword to 200-200 and take your chances to get some cash. Welcome to hour number two of the Morning Show with Preston Scott. Grant Allen over there in Studio 1A. I'm here in Studio 1B. Great to be with you. Filling in for another couple of days for Good Morning Orlando. Back together they will be on Tuesday with Bud Hedinger. Simon Conway fills in on Monday with Melissa and Allen. But we are here today, and I am joined in studio by the managing editor of the Florida Capital Star. And Steve Stewart joins us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. There are a ton of people listening in a brand new area this morning in Orlando that might not have ever known there is a new site to find themselves some news dealing with statewide issues.
Yeah, Florida Capital Star is part of the Star News Network, which is a digital newspaper, which is being rolled out in a number of states across the country, and started in Florida about 3 months ago, building up our archives. And we publish 3 to 4, you know, state-centric stories a day. And then there's also national news and other commentary on the site, but I'm responsible for the fact-based journalism and not the commentary.
And it's important to note that's a major distinction. The commentary is set aside, it's noted, and the reporting, though, what's unique about the reporting style?
Well, yeah, the reporting style is that we're, again, looking at stories that, and in Florida, it's a very rich environment, that are not covered at all because of the bias of the legacy media. And also stories that are covered but with a political bent, maybe not the full story that is told. You read a story that's written and published in one of these legacy newspapers, but you don't get the full story. So those are the
two things.
It might
be the truth. But it might not be the entire truth.
The entire truth.
Okay.
And so I think, there's obviously with the media landscape around the country, there's a need for this. And because now a lot of people are struggling where to get their news. And my advice is always to go to more than one place. Read the same story in two or three places and see what the differences are. And then you can come to the point of finding these credible news outlets. And that's what Florida Capital Star is aiming to be, one of the credible news outlets in Florida that you would go to statewide news.
And the website is Florida Capital with an A, CapitalStar.com. One word, FloridaCapitalStar.com. And Steve, let's talk specifics. a lot of the national narratives, sometimes they apply to states, sometimes they don't apply to states, but there's a story you're working on that does.
Yeah, so the, you know, the critical race theory issue is big at the national level, but it's also filters down. That's a issue that filters from the national level all the way to states, all the way to local school districts. And, you know, there is here in the state of Florida, Governor DeSantis changed a policy that really dictated to K through 12 schools that you cannot teach personal views on these, on the racial issues or the history classes that you're teaching. You need to teach fact-based things or curriculum in schools. And critics came out and said, look, they're not even teaching critical race theory in K through 12. This is just an appeal to your base, and it's nothing but red meat, and it doesn't really have any substance. Well, that was about 6 to 8 weeks ago when that happened. And now we see that the NEA, the National Educators Association, which is the National Teachers Union, which is affiliated with the Florida Teachers Association and many school boards across Florida, published something called the New Business Policy Item 39. And basically, it outlines how they're going to support not only critical race theory, but they're going to go and provide documents to teachers so they can defend teaching critical race theory and using it as a tool to in history curriculum. Statements like, you know, we are against banning critical race theory and Project 1619 from classrooms, going to teach the negative side of capitalism, but and addressed capitalism by name in this policy proposal, but didn't mention communism or socialism. So it's clear that the bias is there. This was passed at one of their annual meetings last week. Some of the media picked up on it, and now all of a sudden, poof, it is scrubbed off their website. And so this is what parents and people who are concerned about this are battling.
So they threw it out there and then removed all mention of it?
They removed it from their website. You can only get we have the documents. It'll be published in our story. We have reached out to the Florida Teachers Association and some local school districts for comment on this to see if these unions are going to, you know, follow in the footsteps. And because it is a plan to send the president of the NEA around the state talking to media outlets about this plan to push critical race theory.
Steve Stewart, managing editor, Florida Capital Star, the website, floridacapitalstar.com. Get that digital subscription going by just going to the website. That's how you do it. You show up. 10 minutes past the hour. More with Steve in a moment.
The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
And I live in a van down by the river.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Joining me in studio is the managing editor of the Florida Capital Star, the website, floridacapitalstar.com, Steve Stewart. Steve, I just wanted to throw out, because I've long been an opponent of the teacher union, especially here in Florida, but nationally as well, the FEA, the NEA, and all of the other satellite organizations that are out there. This now makes the two largest teacher unions in the country supporting CRT. I just wanted all of you teachers to know there's an option. There's a union option that doesn't get involved in politics and doesn't get involved in this kind of nonsense. And it's the Professional Educators Network of Florida. It's PennFL.org if you're interested in an alternative where you get the same benefits of legal representation, but you're not drafted into all this political nonsense.
And it's, if you read that, it's clearly political nonsense. I don't understand what a teachers union's doing, even taking that up, but anyway.
It is what it is.
Yes.
Some other things you're following with Florida Capital Star.
So one of the things we try to look at, again, is what's going on nationally and how it applies to our state in Florida, which has obviously been, you know, ground zero for a number of things.
Yeah.
Governor DeSantis is obviously, you know, leading the national charge against a lot of things and getting a lot of media play. But one of the things we're seeing in the national level is this concern all of a sudden about crime. And it's not just, you know, any crime, it's violent crime. And if you start reading behind the scenes, you know, the White House is very concerned about how this is going to affect the 2022 elections, because murder rates around the country are up, you know, if you look at it on average, up 30% to 40% in these larger cities. And so this narrative, which you're starting to hear about it, and, you know, it's a shocker, right, with the way police have been treated and the lack of enforcement in some areas because of the COVID pandemic. And even in the first part of this year where people are looking at this, they're seeing this is continuing murders. But what you don't hear is, you know, looking at a place like Florida, you know, what's going on in Florida? You see on the news, you see Chicago, you see New York, you know, you see San Francisco. Mm-hmm. But do you see any state, you know, do you see any cities from Florida? And there's a reason for that. It's because the numbers in Florida in most of these our major cities don't approach what's happening in the rest of these large cities in the country. For example, I wanted to share some of these numbers because the FDLE just released the uniform crime reports probably within a month that show a lot of these details. And, you know, you didn't see any stories in the mainstream media about how murder rates are lower in some of our bigger cities. I want to give you some of the stats here. For example, in Orlando, there is an increase, but it is below 30%. It was a little less than 20%. In Seminole County, now there was an issue. This was the biggest jump I saw, and it's a smaller county, which is borders Orange County. Mm-hmm. In Orlando, the murders went from 6 to 14. The biggest change that I've seen in that area. But Palm Beach County, no change in murders. If you look in Hillsborough, less than 20%. If you look at Duval County, less than 10%. And so the point here, again, is I would challenge anyone, and you will see this on Florida Capital Star soon, is to find an article in the legacy media that talks about how large cities in Florida don't fit that national narrative. I don't think you'll find it. And so is that a lack of reporting resources to do something like that? Because it does take some time to go through and pull these numbers.
Sure.
Or is it a... Or is it a political bias that you're seeing? Just ignoring the story. So, you know, that's something you have to decide. But I think those are important. Again, these are important numbers to look at when you start saying that, you know, is Florida different in some of these areas? And clearly it is from the crime aspect. And why? Well, you know, listen, we can talk about the reasons why, but obviously Governor DeSantis has been very focused on this. And I think that, you know, again, you could owe it to his leadership, or you could say that it's just, hey, we're different. We don't know how to explain it. But you should at least write about it, right? And say, these are the numbers.
Not here. That's what I say. Steve Stewart with us, managing editor, Florida Capital Star. Again, that website, floridacapitalstar.com. Newsrooms across Florida listening. Here you go. Fact-based reporting. You can just be professional. Give credit. Not all journalists do that, you know. They just steal. They don't borrow and give credit. They steal. Just borrow. Give credit. More with Steve next. Minutes after the hour of the morning show with Preston Scott, filling in for Bud Hedinger, and good morning, Orlando, for another day and a half. Good to be with you this morning. That is Grant Allen over there in Studio 1A, and I'm joined by Steve Stewart. He's the managing editor of Florida Capital Star. It is a digital online newspaper covering the issues of the state as well as national stories, but from an independent investigative journalism perspective, and the website is floridacapitalstar.com. Steve, you know, Politico has made a calculated decision. They're going to jump on the Nikki Fried bandwagon, the woman that could bring down Ron DeSantis. I, of course, don't see it. But there's a lot of stories involving the agriculture commissioner that are just going uncovered.
Well, and to that point, what we've done at Florida Capital Star is we have actually on our homepage, there's a bar there for previous stories on Nikki Fried, and the reason why we've included this is because the numerous conflicts of interest and potential conflicts of interest with regards to her positions as agriculture commissioner and her financial interest in marijuana companies, mm-hmm. and her relationship with her fiance, Mr. Bergman, who is a marijuana entrepreneur, just does not get covered. It is unbelievable how they've just ignored it until recently. And
just a snapshot of a couple little tidbits.
Yeah, so her net worth increased after she got elected from about $250,000 to about $1.2 million in a year and a half. And so not one story about it until, you know, until we started digging into it. And you look at it, and she was basically given $750,000 from someone she's not married to. And who has an interest in the marijuana business. And as agriculture commissioner, she is developing policy, created a
cannabis committee. And she has made a statement. She has nothing to do with the industry.
which is, look, just is ridiculous to even, you know, look, I'm convinced that these politicians, when they get favorable media coverage or they believe they have them in their pockets, they say whatever they want to say. And it just doesn't get reported. Now, what I will tell you is, you know, we've been looking at these financial disclosure forms, and she can't seem to fill them out right. I mean, she's amended them three times since she's
and no small amount
been in office. And you know, the last time she suddenly found $350,000 in undisclosed income from 2017 and 2018 as a marijuana lobbyist that she had to go back and add to her. Financial disclosures, which did make a statewide story. But now what we're starting to see now is when it was just Nikki Fried potentially against Ron DeSantis, then, you know, it was hands off. But enter everybody's favorite politician, Charlie Crist, to run for governor. And then all of a sudden you've got, within the Democrat side, you've got coalitions starting to build up, and you've got media that are favorable to Mr. Crist. And now you start to see some of these stories coming out about Nikki Fried. But like July 1st, you know, as a reporter, we're waiting for July 1st because Form 6s are due.
Form 6 is?
The financial disclosure form is due from all the elected officials. Well, if you look at the cabinet, the governor and the cabinet, everybody was able to file theirs on time except for Ms. Fried. And so we're following that. And, you know, so that'll give us an idea of what her net worth is. She had an investment in a marijuana company that was bought by Trulieve, which is one of the biggest marijuana companies in the country. And, oh, by the way, the CEO of Trulieve serves on a committee that Nikki Fried started to promote marijuana policy in Florida. I mean, it's just this.
She also has family in the mix, right?
Yes, and that's a, you know, I almost forgot about that, Preston. I mean, yeah, her father is tied up with a marijuana business with her fiance. Her sister works in the marijuana industry. I mean, again, absent Charlie Crist getting into this race, I don't think this stuff would have ever got the coverage that it's getting now. And it's only going to, I think it's only going to get worse for her in the following months. Because it is. Just imagine if, you know, Ron DeSantis' wife's father was on the board of an electric utility or something. I mean, just imagine the outrage, right?
Well, we know what would happen if a conservative or a Republican were in the exact same scenario. The mainstream media would be on it endlessly.
Right. And we're looking at all the financial disclosure forms of these people. And we will have, I mean, if you look at Governor Ron DeSantis, he has the lowest net worth of any of the cabinet officers and the governor and even the candidates. I mean, if you look at his financial disclosure form, it is very simple. But not the case with Nikki Fried.
As always, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And folks, again, FloridaCapitalStar.com. Just go there and let others know. This is your new source for statewide news, FloridaCapitalStar.com. Speaking of news, weather, traffic next, back with the big stories in the press box and more on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
When you thought you were right. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Okay. 35 minutes past the hour. It's hour number two, The Morning Show with Preston Scott. Show number 4504, day 170. America held hostage. Grant Allen over there, Studio 1A, running the radio broadcast. I am here in Studio 1B, and good morning, Orlando. The team will be back together. It's like blowing the conch shell. News team, assemble!
Wow, haven't heard that in a while.
Bud, we were literally here the whole time, and that's true with Melissa and Alan. They're still feverishly working hard. But Simon Conway will be in the chair with Melissa and Alan on Monday, Bud back on Tuesday. So you get more of me for another day and a half. And by the way, the reason why I list the number of shows is it started out as kind of a personal joke. You know, imagine Morning Show with Preston Scott, day 4 of the radio program. And I started that way because the first week I did the show, I was not well. I was sick as could be. I was working three jobs, and this was one of them. And so I was averaging about 4 hours of sleep a night. It just it had caught up to me as we were working on the development of this program. And so I didn't think I'd last, honestly. And that's why I started counting. It was like, I wonder how many days I can get out of this before they just go, give me the big raspberry and the hook.
Well, that's a pretty big number I'm looking at on the rundown.
4,500 shows later, here we are, still doing the radio program. But anyway, big story in the press box. And I asked the question last hour, and I mean it sincerely. The story isn't Joe Biden in Chicago. Honest and truly, Joe could wander into anything at this point. Whatever. You know that almost, I think it's 60%, just under 60% of Americans aren't really sure Joe Biden's running anything. That's an interesting number.
What number did you say?
About 57% in polling.
Jeez.
And that makes sense.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people that believe Barack Obama's really kind of running things. Susan Rice is his intermediary, and that's the way it's going. And if you look at the policy, this is Barack Obama on steroids. That's what this is. And so, you know, but that's really not the story. The story is this. How is it that even in an ABC News Washington Post poll, how is it possible Joe Biden has a 50% approval number? How is it possible that 38% think he's doing okay with crime? Who thinks that way? The criminals? I'm thinking that polling had to be of gang members and cartel members and MS-13 members. They polled them. How's the president doing on crime? 38% think he's doing great. 48% think he's doing great. Who could possibly think that? Who could look at where we're going with inflation and think that? Who could look at the money we're spending, which devalues the dollar, which speeds up inflation, and think that? I can't divorce my brain from the idea that we are that woefully lost that half of America think he's doing a great job. That's amazing. If you're in that group, you think Joe's done a great job, I just challenge you to please list for me how, where. Preston at iHeartRadio.com. We come back. Dr. David Hartz joins us. It's Optimum Health Naturally. Try to get you feeling better, but we try to do it with things that you can do to get to the cause of why you're not feeling well. That's next on The Morning Show.
Someone has to say it. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
One minutes after the hour.
It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good.
Ja, we want you to feel good. The Morning Show with Preston Scott. Joining me, Dr. David Hartz, Optimum Health Naturally. Good morning, Dr. Hartz. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Preston.
Are you going to make me feel bad about how I grilled my food over the 4th of July weekend?
This almost sounds un-American, doesn't it?
There are ways to grill food, though, that are healthier than other ways, right?
Well, there are, and we don't want to say we can't do this, but, you know, just we're always trying to do it the most healthy way possible. And there is some, you know, research on both sides on this that says, you know, that grilling, you know, especially on a consistent basis, meats on a grill can increase carcinogens, the heterocyclic amines, they call them HCAs, and it can cause, and people that have done this consistently over many years seem to have higher rates of cancer and stuff like that. So it's just a good idea to, you know, if you can do some things smart, to do it a little bit differently. So, yeah, there's some things we can do. Some of them are we can cut the meat into smaller portions when we cook it so that it actually cooks a little faster and we don't have to use quite so much grilling on it. Other things like leaner meats, like even, you know, the fishes and poultry and stuff like that also seem to be better, and even meats that are leaner, it has less flame, less smoke, seems to have a whole lot less hydrocarbons in it. Now, flipping the meat, you know, more frequently instead of, you know, cooking it really, really charred on one side and then turning it, even though I know there's good things that happen when we do that as far as the meat's concerned, it definitely decreases some of these hydrocarbons and so forth. Marinating meat actually helps a lot.
Okay. Now we're talking.
Marinating meat actually, the marinade itself actually seems to protect the meat a little bit from the hydrocarbons. And you know, a good marinade too is if you don't want to put a lot of sugar and stuff on it with barbecue sauce, which we all love, you can actually use olive oil and some spices and stuff, especially on poultry. That works really well. And also decrease the hydrocarbons very well also. And then to control the temperature, you know, when you're cooking, if you just cook at a lower temperature longer instead of a higher temperature shorter periods of time, that seems to make a big difference also. And one other thing, too, I found that hardwoods, if you can use hardwoods if you're smoking things, the maples and hickory, the hardwoods instead of pine and stuff like that, seem to burn at lower temperatures. They don't have to have the temperature quite so high. And they say that also helps a lot. There seems to be some benefit to that. And if you're charcoaling, you know, try to use the briquettes that are wood-based. They seem to have, you know, some of the charcoals have a lot of chemicals in them. And if you're chemical sensitive, too, some people are really chemically sensitive to what they eat. The charcoals sometimes, if they're really cheap, charcoals can really, or petroleum-based, can really give a, you know, some problems into the food. And people can react to this. I've had patients have problems with that. So trying to just think a little bit about that when you do it. Of course, we want to enjoy the barbecuing and continue to do it, but just try to do it as a little bit more healthy.
Is there a difference between, I mean, you just talked about charcoal grilling. What about open flame? What about gas grill?
The gas grill is a little better, I believe, because you can control the heat. Plus, you have a little less types of you know, byproducts coming off charcoal, different types of charcoal. So I think from what I've seen in the studies that they believe that the gas is actually a little bit better than trying to burn different types of charcoal and so forth like that. So, yeah, I think that would be better. And open flames, you know, is the problem. It's charcoaling, and it seems like that produces the HCAs. Of course, it's kind of what we like sometimes when it's burnt and charcoaled. But I mean, everything as usual is, you know, done in moderation is not bad. But if we're doing it consistently, it's just a good idea to kind of think about it a little bit and do it a little smarter.
Yeah, because people this time of year, and especially in Florida, they can do it year round, really love grilling outside routinely.
Yeah, and that's correct. And we can do it all year round in Florida.
Dr. Hartz, as always, I appreciate the topical topic and timely as well. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk again in a couple weeks.
Okay, Preston. Have a great day.
Thank you, sir. Dr. David Hartz with us. He joins me twice a month. Optimum Health Naturally or Optimum Health Naturally. Take it either way. It works. It's what we call a double entendre here on The Morning Show.
The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Shazam!
News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
All right, 51 minutes after the hour. Next hour, we will endeavor to help those of you that are trying to remold yourself, rebrand yourself. New career, new direction. We've got an expert in that field. Kim Moore heads up Workforce Innovation. For I guess they still call it Tallahassee Community College, but I thought, aren't they all now state colleges? It should probably be called Tallahassee State College.
Oh, I have no clue.
I think we went with the state college thing. But at any rate, she's an expert on employment, employers, employees, all that stuff. So we'll give you some tips, some things to think about, as well as some of the businesses hiring statewide, the top 10 businesses hiring statewide. Kim Moore joins me in just a little bit. Anthony Fauci telling all of you not wanting to get the vaccine, let me quote, "You got to ask, what's the problem? Get over it. Get over this political statement. Just get over it and try to save the lives of yourself and your family. Well, I would simply say if you hadn't lied about mask use and so forth, maybe people would be more trusting what you have to say. Additionally, I thought this might be a good time to remind you of, we have resources. I've been at this a while. I've done this thing called radio for a while. I think it was 1977 there when I started my radio career. But we do have this here. It just might be useful for you for context.
The following statement by Dr. Anthony Fauci may not represent the views of this radio station, its affiliates, or the host and producer of this program, unless they do.
When you get vaccinated, you become a dead end. By that, I mean you become a place where the virus goes to die, should you get the virus. Not that you will die, although I cannot say that with certainty, because saying that would be irresponsible. You know, like announcing I made up vaccine percentages to reach herd immunity based on public opinion polls. I would never do that, unless, of course, I did, which would be the fault of the mainstream media, unless it wasn't. I'm sure there's a lot of confusion about mask wearing, so let me be clear as mud. There has been an evolution of the science regarding masks and the vaccine. I've already touched on the vaccine, which, if you get COVID-19, you know that the virus from China will likely be asymptomatic and there's little likelihood of you spreading it to anyone else. So don't be confused, because I said last summer, fall and winter, that asymptomatic people were a real danger. I wasn't wrong then. I'm not wrong now, unless I am. What did I know? Forget what I said. Now with masks, wear a mask only when you are absolutely sure you should wear one, unless you shouldn't. So if you're outside and there's a breeze of, say, 5 to 10 miles per hour, go ahead and take your mask off unless you shouldn't, or if anyone is downwind. How far? I think the science is clear. If you're inside, don't wear a mask if you've been fully vaccinated unless you are certain everyone else has been fully vaccinated, unless you choose to wear a mask. Now, I'm often asked, what if you're not sure if those around you have been vaccinated? I will tell you what I have told each person who has asked that question. I am a person of science, so follow the science. I hope I've helped. As the highest public-paid public official in America, I feel a duty to keep you informed, even if every single word I say is nearly all the time 100% wrong, unless it isn't. So until the vaccine is everywhere, the virus isn't going anywhere, unless it is, and in the meantime, mask up, unless you shouldn't. Thank you.
The previous announcement was satire.
Yeah, and we make sure that you know that.
I'm so glad.
Unless it wasn't.
I'm so glad Dr. Fauci cleared it up for us. It makes so much sense now.
Unless it doesn't. And unless he didn't. There's so much truth in that. Mercifully, we push away from the second hour of the program, make way for news, weather, traffic, chance to win some cash coming up, get a grand in your hand in a little while. Keep listening to The Morning Show with Preston Scott. Past the hour, hour number three of The Morning Show with Preston Scott. If you missed the very beginning of the radio program, of course, filling in for Good Morning Orlando on the big 50,000-watt front porch, AM 540, and WFLA Orlando. I told him at the beginning of the show, I played Elsa singing Let It Go, and we've let it go. We're not talking about the storm anymore. Thankfully, it's moved on. And we're talking about other things, back to kind of a normal groove on The Morning Show with Preston Scott. Great to be with you. Grant Allen over there, Studio 1A. I am here in Studio 1B, and I'm joined monthly by Kim Moore. Everybody needs gurus in their life, and Kim is a guru. And I introduced you to Kim last hour. I said, look, She is a guru when it comes to workforce, when it comes to employers, employees. And she joins me from Tallahassee Community College, where she's the Vice President of Workforce Innovation. Are you guys Tallahassee State College, or have you resisted that over there?
We have resisted that. We are Tallahassee Community College. Absolutely. There's two that remain in the state, but really focusing in on making sure that we are community driven. It doesn't mean that, you know, others don't.
Right.
But we
right.
have kept that name. Yeah.
Yeah. It just dawned on me today. I was like, wait a minute now.
Should I be saying state or what?
And I knew better, but I figured I'd ask. But we talk regionally, but we're going to broaden it a little bit more for our friends in Orlando.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that you provide on your website, which is hotoccupationsnow.com, mm-hmm. is you provide a list of who's hiring in Florida.
Yes.
So who is hiring in Florida?
So who's hiring in Florida? So you are thinking about Advent Health, HCA, which some of these are for our back
homes.
Healthcare. Yeah, Florida Department of Corrections coming in at number three. Anthem Blue Cross, Deloitte, as well as Marriott, Baptist Health. And then we go into the state of Florida and Lowe's. Those are our top 10.
Is Marriott a sign that things are improving on the hospitality side?
Picking back up. People are, yes, we're free a little bit. We are getting back out there. So, yes, it is.
Is it still a statewide? I know it's, I'm quite certain it's a national trend, but certainly inside Florida, a lot of help wanted signs still sitting out.
A lot of help wanted signs. As a matter of fact, we're even, you know, we have the number here today to talk about those positions statewide that are out there that are available. So, registered nurses are top number one. Retail sales at number two statewide. Sales, manufacturing side of it, customer service, first line supervisors, labor and freight, all of it makes sense. You know, the customer service, the people part of it, managers, maintenance and repair workers, heavy and tractor trailer drivers, or our big truck drivers, and then waiter and waitress coming in number 10. That's the state's top openings overall.
Wage kind of variance here.
Wage variance, you're at 20,000 to right above, right at 100,000.
Okay. Mm-hmm. When you talk about retail sales, that differentiates itself from sales in my mind, because retail sales, they're coming to you to purchase stuff and businesses want you to just help them find what they want.
Exactly.
Sales is you going and selling.
Which is on the manufacturing side of you're going and selling. Yeah, we have this thing. What about this?
Because personality types and skill sets are a little different in those venues.
You're exactly right. One, you're conjuring up and nurturing relationship, and the other you don't. So we're seeing this across the board, that customer service matters more than ever. And because, you know, I know we'll talk about it later, about, you know, just ability to form those relationships sometimes, in it, even in a remote environment, use of technology now, and a lot of jobs being hybrid or fully remote. Yeah.
Are we going to focus on employers or employees in the next segment?
You know what? We're going to talk a little bit about both, because they go together.
All right. When we come back, Kim Moore with me, again, Vice President of Workforce Innovation with Tallahassee Community College, and she's an expert on the subject. And this is what she's been doing for her career, is helping people connect to the right opportunities. So whether you are an employer or you are a prospective employee, some tips that'll be helpful to you coming up next on The Morning Show with Preston Scott. It's 10 minutes past the hour. For those of you in Orlando, listen, because you could get a grand in your hand. Just listen for the keyword and text it to 200-200.
Beck program. It's time to act like Spock. Stop feeling and just use reason.
9 to noon on WFLA.
Minutes after the hour, The Morning Show with Preston Scott. I was just telling Kim, that grand in your hand thing, that's why you win more often listening to The Morning Show, because you're not fighting with the Western time zones. See, later in the day, everybody's in on it. Early in the day, it's just you guys. So I'm just saying. Benefits of listening to the show never, ever end. Kim Moore with me, Workforce Innovation. She's the vice president with Tallahassee Community College. And we were talking about some tips, some things that people need to think about.
So things that you need to think about, there are, as we talk about it statewide, that there are so many job openings right now and not enough in terms of job seekers ready to go into those jobs. So what's the gap? What do we need to do? Job seekers, I mean, there's choice. There's choice and variety now. But again, you got to apply for those jobs and you got to be ready for the right opportunity, even if you are being selective. So remembering the resources that you have out there, your resume still need to be on point. You certainly need to have, employers are leaning more towards certifications as well.
One question on resumes, because we have so many people that are listening for the first time. The days of one resume for all jobs is gone.
It is gone. It is totally gone. So the fact of having one and brushing it off every 5 or so years, no, it needs to be tailored to that specific either industry or position in and of itself.
Okay.
Employers need to know that you know something about their company and that you have the skills for not only to get in the door, but to stay in the door. I mean, employers are really wanting to make that investment in people.
In other words, spend a little more time on your resume on the things that directly apply and maybe mention that you had that job for that length of time, but focus.
I see it time and time again, even with some of our jobs. You know, I'll see somebody that applies for 5 jobs. They've kept the same resume, totally different areas. Who does that? A lot of people do that. So
where's technology showing up today?
Technology is showing up in a variety of different ways. Because of COVID, a lot of employers have thought about how we do business differently and what they're learning, because they're dipping their toe in the water. Some are already there. And as a matter of fact, stats say that by 2025, 22% of businesses will just remain. They're not going to go back, you know, to the bricks and mortar. So companies, whether you're state agencies, whether you're, you know, private sector or public, you got to think about what it takes in order to be more productive, more efficient. And technology's fine, which means that there is this thing called remote work. You would have and should build in, if you will, if it works for your business, remote work. Why? Because you're going to be able to attract some of the best minds. Some of the best minds have said that, you know what, because of family and other matters, they're choosing to stay out, but they still want to contribute to the workforce.
Does that make for a better employee because they feel like they're not cheating their family?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, there's 3 things that you get with that. You get productivity, you get efficiency, and you get higher morale. Folks are really vested because they're giving back. And to be very honest, stats show that they even work more.
Interesting.
Employers hear that. They even work more when you are flexible with the models that you're creating. So whether you're grants, contracts, or whatever the case, and realizing that every employer can't switch to that model, but for those that can, think about it. And there are options. So, you know, we always bring to our listeners solutions. So TCC and the work that we're doing, as even though we're, you know, physically located Tallahassee, we have the Performance Innovation Institute that works with employers across the state of Florida. So everything that we're talking about today is something that we can come to you, or we can use technology to talk to you about how to look at your workforce in a new way with a new lens.
Consider the savings on donuts for the staff alone.
That alone, yes. Give them a few virtual donuts and there you go. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's just, it is a totally different workplace that's developing right now.
Yes. And it's okay. It's okay. And so how do we make sure that we're meeting folks in the middle? Because it's almost like the two groups sometimes don't know about what the other's thinking. But I'll tell you another stat, that 56% of folks, this is United States wide, that are working your regular day job, traditional, are also doing a gig job on the side. They're finding that way. So how do you keep your workforce, but at the same time be flexible with it? We need to.
How can someone that's listening in other parts of the state now reach out to you?
1-833-TCC-JOBS.
1-833-TCC-JOBS. You're the best. Thank you. Kim Moore with us with Tallahassee Community College Workforce Innovation. She's the vice president, our guest here on The Morning Show with Preston Scott. 16 minutes past the hour.
WFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
Hey, so here we go.
An iHeart's radio station.
21 minutes after the hour of the morning show with Preston Scott. HotOccupationsNow.com. It's a resource for you statewide. It'll help you. It'll be a link for you to hook up with what Kim's doing and that center that they have set up to help businesses across the state just be better and more prepared to innovate inside the workplace, get the best people. And for those of you on the other end of it looking, man, there are jobs. We were just talking about the fact, I'm going to get off my rundown here for just a moment. I don't know if you have this experience. I got to believe you do. You go through a drive-thru, and every now and then, there's just somebody that stands out like a sore thumb. Roy Williams, who writes about advertising and marketing, is a brilliant, insightful guy in that world, talked about having such a horrible experience at a Hardee's one day years ago. He said, the franchise disappeared to me. I never saw it. It was dead to me. And he said, and one day I'm driving through Texas and I'm hungry for coffee and a biscuit. And lo and behold, the only place was a Hardee's. And he pulled in and the woman on the other side of the speaker said, would you like cream in your coffee? And he said, all of a sudden, Hardee's became visible again.
Huh. How about that?
And I have at times been at a drive-thru, been at a restaurant, and just that young person that's just exceptional. There's just something. They care. They're working hard. You can tell by how they present themselves. They want to be the best at that job that they can be. And I'll look at them and I will say, you are marked for success, young man or young lady, because of how you do your job. And you're going to do great things. And you should see their face. I've never, ever said that to somebody and had them just go, get lost, loser. Every single one of them smiles as big as they can, and they go, thank you so much. Sometimes all that needs to happen is to encourage somebody. But at the same time, there are people sitting on their rear ends when there are help wanted signs all over. And it's not about the wage. It's about the experience. It's about the principle of working and gaining more than a wage. Gaining experience, gaining skills, mastering the ability to cope, to critically think. I believe, I'm a person of faith. I believe in Jesus Christ. He's my Lord and Savior. You know the drill on that stuff. I believe that God puts us in places to prepare us for the next thing. If you read the Bible, the parable of the talents is all about being faithful with these little opportunities, whatever they may be. And I look at these help wanted signs as these little opportunities for someone to step in, be faithful, and then watch what God does with you, because you will be so valuable as an employee if you embrace whatever opportunities are there and make the most of them. Someone's going to say to you, you are marked for success. Someone's going to say to you, hey, would you be interested in talking about another job? Someone's going to come across your path that's going to open a door for you. I've seen that happen time and again. I am so all about that, which is why we do these segments. There is nothing on this radio program that is done by accident, other than occasional intelligence and humor. That's an accident. Occasional intelligence and humor is an absolute accident. Aside from that, everything I do has a purpose. And you know, I started this radio program, and I used to end the show, every show, with one expression: make a difference. And I just tried to speak that for years. And then eventually we went ahead and did something about it. We tried to demonstrate that with projects and things, whether it's putting a water pump, a well in Cambodia, or raising money for scholarships for people to go to college that are working their way. They don't qualify for financial aid and scholarships because they're working. I want to help those people. So we developed a scholarship for it. I mean, that's what Make a Difference is kind of all about. And so I guess my challenge in this segment here, as it's sort of taken over the segment, is if you are an employee, be that employee. Kim likes to say it, be essential. If you're the employer, find those people. Find them. Encourage them. And if you're just everybody else out there, encourage the people that you meet that look like they want to make a difference and are showing it in how they work. Thank them. Encourage them. 27 minutes after the hour, it's the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Spin stops here. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Coming up to 36 minutes past the hour here on the Thursday edition of the Morning Show with Preston Scott, filling in for Bud and the crew. Good morning, Orlando. Thanks for putting up with me. I know it's a shock to the system. I get that, but it'll be all right. Bud will be back on Tuesday. Simon's in on Monday. Simon Conway with Melissa and Alan. So things will be back to kind of what you're used to. So, you know, I hope I'm like that meal you try at a restaurant and you're like really leery of it, but you give it a whirl and you're pleasantly surprised that you didn't hate it as much as you thought you would. You know, that at the very least you come away from the table going, yeah, it was pretty bad, but I thought it would be worse. We've all had that meal, and hopefully that's what I am for you at worst. And maybe you're even enjoying some of this a little bit. But this is what we do. We thank you very much for joining us. I will tell you, the big story in the press box can evolve throughout the program, and this one has to a certain extent. I think what stands out about the story is, and we've heard it all morning long, they have switched from a recovery, from a search for finding survivors to now a recovery in the Surfside condo. But what I think really gripped me, and obviously the loss of life here is growing every single, you know, day.
Every passing minute that they don't find a survivor, it's just not looking good.
No, not at all. They've had canines that are specially trained. They've used special electronic instruments. I'm quite certain have released robotics in there. And doing all they can. But first responders, they won't leave. Some of them have been told, okay, time to go. They will not leave. I just want to take a second and let that sink in for a moment. They will not go. And I just want to remind you, especially you BLM apologists, these are the professions that you're demonizing. The people that run to trouble, that run to gunfire, that run to burning houses and buildings and collapsing buildings, that run to the burning cars and pull people out. And they don't check the color of their skin. They see a human being that needs help, and they go to. And in this case, they're not leaving. I can get a little upset at the narrative that has been based on a 100% proven in multiple investigations lie. And I think about all the garbage that has come as a result, all the division. Tell me this. At what point in your life, if you're my age, if you're a 60-year-old, at what point in your life have you ever seen color more than you do right now? I am colorblind, and I will say it to the face of anybody. I don't care. But I'm being forced to see it now. But I just want to circle back to a group of first responders in Surfside that aren't willing to leave. Just something to think about. 20 minutes away from the top of the hour here on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Tomorrow on the program, we got ourselves a home dingle. Got a home dingle on the program tomorrow. Might try to pull off a Florida man story tomorrow. We'll just see. We'll see if the news cycle cooperates. We don't make them up. Just got to see what's out there. But I will admit that at times I do go looking more than others. So I'm going to make a note right here. Right underneath hairy legs. Florida man. Got good news tomorrow. What's the beef Friday? And... And also tomorrow on the, trust me, this will all make sense tomorrow on the program. Also tomorrow, Phil Swartz will join us from Holiday Cruises and Tours. He was on a celebrity cruise, the first one out into the Western Caribbean after all of the hoo-ha, and pushed out of Fort Lauderdale last week. We tried to connect with him on the program, could not because the whole ship to shore thing wasn't working. But he's back, and he'll tell us, okay, what's it like getting on board a cruise ship now? What's it like on the ship? How are the, you know, how are the meals? How's the interaction? Is everything kind of normal? This guy that's been in the industry for decades and was out there, and dynamite guy. So we'll let you know. If you're thinking about going on a cruise, we'll tell you what to expect. That's tomorrow in the second hour of the program. Headline, rising Georgia college quarterback Ladarius Clardy. Back home in Pensacola, picked up one of his buds, was home for just a few hours. He was, spoiler alert, rising sophomore, Kennesaw State University. Left Pine Forest High School in Pensacola as the all-time leading passer, school history. Great quarterback, apparently. Great kid. You know, did he diss somebody? Did he run across a gang? I don't know, but he got shot in a 50-bullet barrage and killed. 50. You know, Grant and I both are firearms aficionados. I said to Grant after I talked about this story a couple hours ago, how long does it take you to fire 50 rounds out of your AR? Now, I'm going to assume there was more than one gunman. It takes a little bit. His buddy was shot and wounded. He's going to survive. Clardy killed. 50 bullets.
And chances are this was a handgun being used, and so there were multiple magazine changes, likely, from people, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they have bootlegged extended mags on on some of these guns, and the fact of the matter is, I personally think it probably wasn't exclusively a 9mm. I think they probably used an AK or something else as well.
Maybe so.
But it doesn't really matter. It's 50 bullets into a kid that happens to be black. And I will, as I said in the first hour, bet the farm that this is going to be a black on black crime. And what I I pointed out in the first hour is USA Today and CNN's got nothing. If this narrative were altered by one race where the perpetrator was either a police officer, which never going to happen, it's just not. That's not going to happen. Or white. It's a tragedy. It is a vicious, heinous crime, and it should be covered the same regardless. I'm going to ask what they ask in stories like this across the country. Say his name. Say his name. But you probably don't even know about it until this moment. I rest my case on the agenda of the mainstream media and the division that they're sowing in this country. 46 minutes after the hour, come back with a final word on The Morning Show with Preston Scott. As we wait on the world to change, remember your chance to get a grand in your hand coming up. Those of you Tallahassee, Panama City, just about 14 minutes. Just about 19 minutes for those of you in Orlando. So just keep listening. Listen for the keyword. Text it to 200-200 and good luck. Back tomorrow morning with another edition of The Morning Show. For those of you that are new to Florida, you're visiting, going to check out the beaches. The storms are gone. Water still might be a little sketchy. Let me remind you, I'm going to continue to remind you because it seems as though we have people that visit our state, go to the beach, and don't understand when there are double red flags, do not go in the water. The beach is closed. We've covered and reported now at least two deaths in the Sunshine State waters because people went into double red flag waters and got caught in a riptide and did not know what to do. You do not swim against a riptide. You swim parallel to the beach, if possible, to the side, or you let it pull you out. And then it diminishes and you swim to the side and swim back in. But if you swim against that riptide, you're toast. Unless you're very fortunate. We have seen victims and rescuers die because of that. Double red flags, beach is closed. Red flag, high hazard. Yellow flag, medium hazard. Green, still be mindful, but there's generally calm and low hazard. And if you see a purple flag, that means there's likely a shark in the water right there. It's been spotted. Or maybe a really mean-looking jellyfish. Or a gazillion jellyfish. Bottom line is, just be mindful of the flags. If the beach is closed, stay out of the water.
Brought to you by Barineau Heating and Air. It's The Morning Show 180 on WFLA.
Today on the program, the big story in the press box, Elsa. Gone. Glad to be done talking about that storm. Will there be another storm this season? We'll have to wait and see if there's one that threatens the state. If it does, keep listening to WFLA wherever you are in the Sunshine State, and you will have the best, most up-to-date information and coverage that there is on the radio. Surfside, they are now going to recovery. Rescuers at the condo complex are told they can go home, but they refuse. They are staying. It speaks to the dedication of first responders. Joe Biden went to Chicago. Good for him. Doubt he said anything useful. Doubt if he remembers saying anything useful. I'm trying to understand how it is that 50% of Americans give him approval on his job as president. I've just asked anybody to email me with anything that he's doing that's good for our country. Anything. I mean, did he switch to Starbursts in the gumball machine at the White House? Has he gone to Skittles? anything. Is he serving pizzas? I mean, I don't care. Just something. Rising star quarterback at Kennesaw State College, State University, I should say, in Georgia, from Pensacola, shot and killed, 50-bullet barrage. Mainstream media's got nothing for you on the story. Wonder why that is. Seriously, how does that not get attention? Rachel Nichols, Maria Taylor, drama at ESPN, just the latest saga. Pro golf, a PGA professional at a golf course in Georgia. Wrong place, wrong time. Shot and killed in the head on the golf course. Just an illustration. Always be prepared. Had some great guests. We'll do it again tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Have a great day, everybody.